the most interesting development was the reaction of both Mel Laird and they both said that they liked Henry, that they'd earned to work with him, that they considered him to be a brilliant man. In the debate, when I gave them an opportunity to indicate that I realized that Henry was hard to work with, pretty fair enough, sharp contrast to Rogers. Henry has mistreated Peterson, Laird just as badly as he has mistreated Rogers. Of course, the Rogers, the treatment gets more in the public limelight. Next, it would have to be said that Henry and Rogers have had more sectors than has been the case with Peterson and Blair, very fairly. In terms of publicity seeking and the rest, Henry has put down Peterson and Blair just as much as he has put down Rogers. Henry comes out of all this is that Rogers doesn't seem to have the capability to argue about someone who simply may have a bit more on the ball and somewhat more knowledge on some critical issues than he has. All of us realize that on those scores, Henry's massive, not only massive intelligence, but his years of background, we are not his equal. On the other hand, we all have enough confidence in ourselves that we don't allow this factor to blind us to Henry's enormous confidence. That's up to, of course, is that the situation with Rogers and Henry is impossible. One with the Peterson and Laird, who don't have an ego problem, apparently is breaking his Rogers as whole of both as his share of ego. I just don't know very carefully. It's tragedy that Rogers feels this way about Henry, because Rogers has had one of the most scintillating careers of anybody in personality which gets him great notices in the press and on television. He has charm which exceeds anything that Henry could ever hope to have. Danish Henry has to make it all on his own, but he does on his own. Rogers has to, Rogers can simply smile at somebody and they think he's the greatest guy walking. Henry's activities deny Rogers the front and center position on all issues. Simply eats at him in an unbelievable way. This is why Rogers tends to see what Henry wants and then deliberately comes up on the other side on almost every issue. Period. His defense, it will have to be said, that he honestly believes that State Department has been downgraded under Henry. And this is true, but this is simply the way I work with the Secretary of State. In a sense, it was true in the relationship between Dulles and Eisenhower. There wasn't any question that Dulles was making the big decisions. Wasn't into the play that it could. Great. Of course, the striking difference here is that Dulles was, underline the word was, Secretary of State, whereas Henry is not. But the same principles apply to the State Department bureaucracy, because they don't even care anymore for Secretary of State than they do for a president. They simply want to see that the bureaucracy gets the credit for all the great ideas. No blame for any mistakes, very fair. Mel Air couldn't have been more gracious. My long letter to him will indicate somewhat the temper of the conversation. Bob Richardson, and he bought it, although I know it was a great surprise to him.
Thank you.
victory wears off and the new Congress comes in. Paragraph this topic pointed out, the new Congress is going to be very testy. They're going to be looking for any opening, whatever. Any former White House employee is not nearly as juicy a target as the present White House employee. He can't bring himself to see this. He, of course, even says that if he stays in the White House, he has executive privilege. John Ehrlich points out that executive privilege wore very thin. The Peter Flanagan case that we all lost, which is my career, where we had to let Peter go. Raj, the woman, sent upon us an event that Kosovo called, trying to preserve executive privilege. Bob and John Ehrlich. The problem that I saw with it is that first we had to keep the presidency as clean as possible. I pointed out how Eisenhower had even gotten rid of his top finance money raiser, Harold Talbot, Secretary of the Air Force, Talbot, with no bad intention whatever, happened to write some letters on his own stationery with regard to some of his business matters. It was hard. He later died with a heart attack, or I think committed suicide. I don't recall the record of all the tragedy that I was talking about. Adams, that episode. This is the only thing that approaches anything like the Colson episode. But I'll never forget when Eisenhower called him to the Gustian. Or perhaps it was from the yes money to the Gustian. Or at least when I was in over and asked me if I could, if you thought I could talk to, Sherman. I went in and talked to Sherman. A big jar of three or four of it at a time. I took that glassy eye and stare of his. And then finally said, well, does the president want this? And I said, I could not say that I was speaking for the president, although I knew that I was. But most of the people. Eisenhower's office after we.
They were getting a bad rap. But then again,
have for visiting Kansas State tomorrow. Morning, as I was over in Dogwood, I saw the union pass go by, and I got over there and I said, let's go on the steps. Able to do. He's always going to have.